Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, 704, 55, 56, 57, 58, 59, 705 in St. Louis.
All right.
Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the still all new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie Marlowe, filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug Vaughn, Iggy Strode, and the number one Bill Russell fan in America, Plowboy. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. I hope you guys are ready to go because I'm not going to be much good to you.
Oh, why is that, Doug?
Well, it's Lady Gaga night, and the tension is so thick in here you could cut it with a knife.
Tension? Why?
Yeah, well, what will she wear?
What will Iggy wear?
Yeah, what will you wear? What will she wear?
She'll wear seven or eight different outfits. Hopefully one of them is a Cardinal jersey for a few seconds, but seven or eight outfits. I don't know what I'm wearing. It's not like I'm going to go home and pick out an outfit just for the concert. Whatever's in my closet.
What kind of outfit you think you'll wear?
Maybe something to stand out so Christina Grady can kind of like wave to us from the stage.
Christina Grady.
She's a dancer with the with Gaga. She's from St. Louis.
Okay.
It'll be a big night for her.
Have you thought about stopping by a fine men's clothier today, getting yourself a new pant? Or a new suit of clothes for the big concert? Some people do that.
We could probably get a sponsor to have them pick a nice, really nice, bright, vibrant outfit, you know, and maybe put a little, like Poker does, maybe put a little patch. So if they do get a shout out or get
pork steak.
Yeah. Kenrick's.
Yeah. Who goes
Or if it's easier, forget the clothes and just bring some food by.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Forget the pants. Just bring some.
I think it's pant. I don't mean to complain, pant. But I think it's pant.
Yeah, who goes and buys a new pant for a concert?
Concert goers.
Well, you would buy a new pant if you were buying an entire ensemble, a whole suit of clothes.
I have enough clothes at home. I'll just pick something out.
But it's something new that makes you feel pretty, and that way you can kind of peacock around at the concert, let people know things are going pretty well for Iggy.
Look, I'm an old man. I'm not going to be like the 15, 16 to 25-year-olds that are there that will dress to the nines and hope they get spotted and feel good about themselves. Here's which is fine. People do feel good about themselves when they wear outfits that they enjoy, and that's why I like Gaga concerts and concerts like that, because you can people watch.
But here's the thing. You can still enjoy yourself a new suit of clothes and be an old man. You just hike the pants up to your rib cage.
Yeah. Right. Wear we call black wingtip shoes.
Yeah.
We call those neck huggers. Now, I am deciding whether I have a pair of shoes that I think I've only worn like twice.
Twice.
And they cost me a pretty good chunk of money. Stacy Adams.
How much?
They were $125.
Yeah, 100 and a quarter.
And I bought them just for, they're kind of like a Latino shoe.
Well, sure.
A lot of Latinos wear them.
Cuban heel. Yeah. Cuban heel.
The black and white. Bruno Mars wears them quite a bit.
Sure. Fancy.
And I was fortunate enough that I was asked to bring my friends Los Lonely Boys on stage at the pageant.
Come on up, he said.
So I said, you know, I got to kind of dress the part. So I went and bought these Stacy Adams. Yeah. I've worn them twice.
A couple times.
Wear them tonight.
I may wear them tonight with a pair of black pants. They would look good.
Yeah, darker.
But it's not a Latino concert.
What was Los Lonely Boys' big hit?
Heaven.
How far is heaven?
How far is heaven?
It's a good tune.
Yes.
What are they up to these days?
They won a Grammy for that.
What are they up to these days?
They're still touring, playing a lot of music. They were here, not this summer, but last summer. I get a call from Henry.
Who's Henry?
Lead singer. Henry Garza. Hank. And one of the great guitar players of our time.
Garza pitched it. Where's he picked?
Matt Garza.
Matt Garza.
Milwaukee, isn't
it? Milwaukee.
I think Brooklyn.
Yeah, no relation, I believe.
Sorry, I brought it up.
It takes forever to throw a pitch.
It's not like me to interrupt with something dumb.
Human rain delay.
Yeah, 30 seconds between pitches.
But he called me and said, Iggy, we're finally back in St. Louis, buddy. We're playing a place called the, where they play. Not the old Rock House. Maybe it was the old Rock House. Told me the
date.
Why
is it the old? It's not there anymore,
It's called the old Rock House.
All right. I've been there. I didn't know it was the old Rock House.
It's like the old Master Painter.
It's like the old
Rock House. The old Master Painter from the faraway hills. Something, something, and the daffodils.
But anyway, the concert date was the same night that I was inducted into the Brentwood Hall of Fame.
What a night.
So I couldn't go.
But what a night, though.
Oh, what a night.
I almost went to the concert and not the induction.
No, you couldn't do that.
No, I was close to going to the concert.
Why?
No, you couldn't.
Because I hadn't seen them in like 5 years. And I love those guys, and I wanted to go.
And you would have been backstage partying?
Oh, I'm sure I would have.
Next thing you know, you're the band publicist.
I don't even know if the old
touring
rock
with them. You're in Tokyo with groupies.
No, they're just good friends and good guys and great music. And I really wanted to see them. So my family, I'm sure I'm boring the hell out of everybody with this, but I was asked by the Hall of Fame committee, let us know how many people from your family are going. They get free tickets and we'll save seats for them. So I asked my family, and Los Lonely Boys had sent me 8 tickets to the concert. So I asked my family, all right, who's going to the Hall of Fame induction tonight? Or whenever it was, August 16th, I think. I need to give them a head count, how many people are going. Also, if you know anybody, I have 8 Los Lonely Boys tickets. One person, my niece, came to the induction. 8 of my family members took the Los Lonely Boys tickets.
Oh, no.
That hurt.
Oh, no.
No,
it hurt, though.
No, I said, I get where you're coming from. I would rather be there myself.
It hurts. So now, actually, someone on the text line said suit of clothes or suit of skin.
Suit of meat. I have no skin.
Like a skin suit, like Silence of the Lambs.
Yes, that's what
Yeah, that's exactly what they're referencing, mm-hmm. Chuck.
That's why I said it.
It's nothing new.
I understand that.
I'm kind of shocked the way it took that long to come in.
It's nothing new, and it's becoming old, but on this show, that means it's still new. It's everything still new. Old is new again.
Chuck said it yesterday, and he said it perfectly. Something
Uh-oh,
on this
Chuck
show.
Chuck Lemming.
Something will. I'm a big Chuck Lemming. Something will, on this show that is mentioned will last for 3 years.
So probably Bill Russell, it might have some legs, even though Bill Russell's legs weren't as long as a modern day player in terms of height.
Especially one who was taller.
This is the tuna topic to where I feel the vibe that some listeners actually don't like the topic, but I left feeling great.
I thought people enjoyed it. And then on the
if you took it seriously, then you have a problem because
right.
We were feeling that it's fun. We were having fun.
I enjoyed that hour. And on the fan page, there was a lot more spirited debate afterwards because seriously, if you go and look at that picture, it's very difficult. And I watched it yesterday. I was looking at
what
it during
picture?
The show. It has the 9 players. You have to basically get rid of one. I was thinking Tim Duncan. I actually changed my mind after really thinking about it. I got rid of Kobe.
I wouldn't get rid of. I'd get rid of Duncan.
I got rid of Kobe.
So it is a good topic. I wanted to start the show off with something red hot that we can workshop throughout the show whenever we have time. In my opinion, Kelvin Natt would have been one of the all-time NBA greats if he hadn't run into injury. But here we are discussing Kelvin Natt, and I don't think a lot of people have even heard of him.
I have.
I think that's a shame.
So who is he?
He was sort of a tweener forward power guy, drafted by the Nets, I believe, went to Denver, had a lot of injuries.
Kelvin Murphy, I know, not Kelvin Natt.
Let me tell you something about Kelvin Murphy.
Kelvin May.
He was...
Yeah. Kelvin Coolidge.
I don't know what they listed him as.
Kelvin Hobbs.
But Kelvin Murphy was about 5'8".
Kelvin Ripken.
Dominated the NBA and was also one of the toughest guys in the NBA.
Cal Ripken. Calvin Ripken.
You never heard of Calvin Murphy?
I've heard of the basketball player Calvin Murphy, not this first guy, though.
Yeah.
Kelvin Natt.
Well, now I've moved on to Kelvin Murphy.
Doug and
Google
I
him. He used to fight guys 6'8 and kick their butts on the court.
Did he play for Houston?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he also ran into some trouble, legal trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Bad legal trouble.
I believe so.
What happened?
I don't want to say something if it wasn't true. I think he abused some women or something.
Just say allegedly.
Allegedly abused some women.
Maybe some underage people were the accusations, I believe.
I think so.
But this Kelvin Natt, I mean, do your research, people, before you step to me.
Calvin Brodus?
I think anybody was required to do Kelvin Natt homework today.
I'm assigning it right now, bro.
Bruh?
I'm not even going to look it up, bro.
I'm not even cool enough to say brah.
Text line, Kelvin Brodus, which is Snoop Dogg, and also Kelvin Benjamin, wide receiver just traded to the Bills.
What about Cal Eldred?
Cal Eldred. Does he still do any Fox Sports Midwest?
No.
Big Ten Network?
He used to do...
Iowa, right?
And then he would do Big Ten Network. Then he was a life coach with the Cardinals. Then he got the job with the Royals. I believe he's their new pitching coach.
Is he?
Is he really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Let me tell you something about
Super nice guy.
Great guy until you jab him a little verbally, and then you say the wrong thing because he is one bad man.
He's an enormous human being.
Corn-fed country boy.
But if he would have thrown in the 70s, probably not a big guy.
No. Back in his day, he was nasty. Then he had all kind of injuries, much like Calvin Natt. But one time I called him Hayseed, and he gave me a look like, don't ever say that again. So you know what, Chuck? I never said it again.
Why would you call a gentleman like that a Hayseed?
Because we're having a dispute, and every once in a while, in the heat of a verbal battle, I'll throw out something like that, not meaning any harm.
No.
But to just sort of drive my point home, and he had to look like, you won't be saying that again, so I didn't. Yeah. He's awesome. I love that guy.
Hey, it's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air Heating and Cooling has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Captain's Log, brought to you by Four Seasons. Penske Truck. How about this, guys? 8:30, Rory Karpf. You're probably saying, who's that? He's the director of Nature Boy, the Ric Flair ESPN 30 for 30.
That was good.
Which was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it to everybody. I think it's, what, an hour and a half. Really, really good. He also directed I Hate Christian Leitner, another 30 for 30, and has a documentary with Snoop Dogg, who we just brought up because his real name is Calvin Brodus. 9:15, Kelly Chase, the St. Louis Blues, of course, radio analyst, brought to you by Petromart, and the email of the day presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Misty Plops continues to lead, Doug. Mr. Nipples, 4-2 so far this month.
Okay. We should point out that the Blues are at Edmonton tonight. Blues looking to snap a two-game losing streak. And they haven't fared very well against Edmonton recently. 0-3-1 over their last four. That's your Blues preview.
Good job.
That was in depth with a stat thrown in there.
How about the note? They've allowed 12 goals in the last two contests. Well, Doug, you like when people say contest?
Not really. Not really.
Tim would say contest.
It's okay to say game more than once.
You got to keep it different with transparency,
sentence,
though.
I don't think second sentence you need to say contest. Have to get away from the game. I guess the Blues are bound to come back to earth a little bit.
And the Edmonton Oilers, who were in the playoffs last year, got off to a slow start, but now they're 3-1-1 over their last four. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, their power play is clicking.
Oh, wow.
They were not scoring goals. Now they suddenly are.
Was Connor McDavid kind of slow out the gate?
He's been okay. He's been he's on pace, I think, to what he was last year.
He's got saucy mitts. I know that much.
Strong player.
On pace.
Strong player.
Hold on. Let me give it. That's a good take.
In my opinion. He can play in any era.
Leave something for Chase. Come on.
That's true. He'll provide the in-depth kind of in between those bullet points that we threw out there.
Fill in the blanks.
I got to tell you, I've become, when you're not working the games, and I'm still going to do some Blues games coming up, but when I'm able to just sit at home on my couch and watch the games on Fox Sports Midwest, you become an even bigger fan. I love watching Blues hockey.
Big old fan, Doug.
Well, I think we're all big old fans of the Blues.
Yeah, but every time we say, hey, did you see the game? You're always like, no.
I can't always watch every game. No, I can't. Wish I could, but I can't. Anybody watch all the games other than people who work there?
No, but many games, and you just said you're a big old fan, and you don't watch many, even if you tape it and then you watch it later.
I don't have time to do that.
Yeah, you do. You get home. Well, you said you get a tub of Häagen-Dazs ice cream.
I don't get a tub.
And you watch a little TV?
Journalism.
I don't need a tub of Häagen-Dazs. I have eaten ice cream right out of the carton.
All right. Carton, tub, is that such a big thing?
Well, it's not I never have a tub. You think a tub, I'm thinking bathtub-sized carton of ice cream. I've never had that much.
No, I'm thinking one of those big round things.
No, I don't get a big round.
Which would be a carton.
A big bucket.
No, the smaller little, like, well, I guess it's a half gallon.
So now we're arguing about big tub or little tub.
I don't have tub of ice cream, no.
Because sometimes they'll say tub of margarine, and they don't mean a giant bathtub of margarine.
Margarine.
They just mean the little holder. It's like a little plastic bowl, a tub.
The problem is, though, if you say tub, the first thing people think of is a bathtub.
I think a Tubby Smith.
This is good. Tubby
have
Smith.
Ever had a pallet of cheese?
A pallet? No, I don't know. A pallet, I think of that big wood thing that you put, that you move things with a forklift.
Tubby Smith. Famous Tubbies. Teletubbies. Is there any other famous?
Are you workshopping this aloud? Yes, Tubby Raymond, fighting Blue Hen legendary coach who had two copies of Mein Kampf on his bookshelf.
Which is that real?
Uncomfortable.
Delaware?
Yeah.
Tubby Tuberman.
So somebody went to his office to interview him?
No, not someone, me. And every time I did, I always felt a little uncomfortable. Like, it's one thing if you're a historian and you have, like, copies of books. It doesn't mean anything. But when you have two copies of Mein Kampf up there, it makes you wonder.
Did anyone ever report this?
Like, this is so good that we need... Well, first of all, I don't care if someone had them. Obviously, the stuff involved is distasteful, but it is almost a historical document by one of the key figures in history, obviously an evil guy. But you think, all right, I want this historical book up on my shelf. You know what? One's not enough. I need two.
Who wrote that? Was that Karl Marx? Who wrote
that? No, that was Hitler.
Hitler.
He did, okay.
I'm watching a documentary now on Netflix, why Hitler was loved by millions of people.
Let me take
into World War II.
Can I take a shot at that?
German nationalism.
Yeah, because the economy was so bad in Germany that they would, to buy a gallon of milk, you needed like a wheelbarrow full of marks or whatever those things were. And when he took over, things got better and people started having pride in Germany.
You're exactly right.
And they almost turned a blind eye to the atrocities because of it.
So it's a side that they've never really shown before about him, you know, chumming up to the little kids and everybody loved him and, you know, kissing women on the cheek and, you know, we all know what he was. But it's kind of to see the other side before all of the atrocities happened in World War II, how he was loved by millions and millions of people.
Random question. And I know it's hard to even find a bookstore nowadays, an actual brick and mortar bookstore. Mm-hmm. But do you think if you went to a bookstore that they would have a copy of Mein Kampf?
Yeah.
All of them?
Yeah.
That'd be odd, though. Even if you're buying it for historical purposes, just if you're in line for a holiday shopping trip and you see someone buying that, that'd be really weird. Like, have you ever seen anyone ever buy Mein Kampf? Or if you're in the library back in the day or in the bookstore, Barnes & Noble, you never see someone just sitting there in the chair reading Mein Kampf.
I don't think I've ever seen it anywhere. Never seen it in a bookstore. Never seen it in the library. I've never seen it anywhere.
Well, if not, I'm sure.
Let's see if it's available on Amazon. How about that?
I'll bet you it is.
I do too, because some people that buy it aren't Nazis. They're historians, because it is that book gives you like an insight into the mind of a madman.
Yeah, I mean,
I
watch almost every documentary I see on Netflix that has to do with World War II and Hitler.
Here it is on Amazon.
$4.
1980, 1990. Oh, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different ones on. So yeah. So
just because you're interested in that doesn't mean you're a Nazi.
Well, of course not. We
believe
don't have Nazis
what he did.
Running around anymore.
But when you have a coach that you're interviewing have with two copies up there on the old shelf,
I don't think that means he's a Nazi.
I don't either. But it is a little uncomfortable for certain reporters.
Two copies would raise a red flag for me.
So you think he's a Nazi?
I just said
he can't
two
read
copies.
A historical book.
Why would you
being
need two?
A Nazi?
Maybe they were given
know.
To him. You just don't throw books away.
I'd resell the one.
I remember as a little kid, because my Uncle Donnie, who I never met, died in World War II. And back then, you could send things home. Like if you watch Band of Brothers, when they went up to Hitler's lair, they were stealing all the china and boxing it up and sending it home. My uncle sent home a German dagger with a Nazi swastika on it, and he sent home a Luger. I remember as a kid playing with the Luger. They wouldn't let us play with the knife, but we'd play like cops and robbers, and I'm using the German Luger. Just something popped into my mind when talking about Germany.
So. When I was in England in the 80s, I noticed there was a lot of shops still selling World War II memorabilia.
Yeah, I mean,
it was all over the place.
I mean, there's a ton of collectors for that.
Oh, Lugers were like, everybody wanted a Luger. Every time that they would kill Germans, they would go to see if they had a Luger. Everybody wanted a Luger.
Do they still make Lugers? I'll bet they do.
I don't know. But I guarantee if you found a German Luger from the World War II, it's probably thousands.
I agree.
Doug, what were you doing in England?
Vacation.
How was it?
Very nice.
In the 80s?
Very nice. Yep.
Boy, television has provided you a nice lifestyle.
Well, it did before I had kids. Yeah, that changed a lot.
So you took the missus to England?
Do the traveling now before the kids came along. Yes.
And you got on the plane, you turned to your wife, you said, tally ho.
No, we did not take a boat. We did get on an airplane.
Tally ho.
They had them back then.
Did you say we're going across the pond?
Didn't say that at all.
I bet you did at least once.
Didn't say that at all.
At least once.
No. Went to London and Paris.
What'd you see? You saw Big Ben, probably.
Yeah.
You saw the London Bridge.
We took the tour of the Tower of London. I've said this before. Took the tour, and in our tour group of about 20 people was Bob Barker.
He was in there.
He was in the tour group. Bob Barker.
Did he have a fine lady on his arm?
He had an assistant there walking around.
Was she
fine? Kind of off to the side.
Was she good looking?
I don't remember her being attractive.
Bob Barker was, and he was in very popular celebrity.
That's cool. Was he really tan?
I don't recall.
He didn't strike up a friendship?
No, I was kind of awestruck. I didn't say anything. He kind of stood away from the crowd. Like 19 people would go wherever the tour guide would take us, and he would be a little bit off to the side with this other woman talking to him. I don't know if he had a special tour guide or what.
If you were Iggy, you would call him a best friend.
I didn't really say anything to him.
Did you go to the Louvre?
Yes, of course. Took a picture of the Mona Lisa, and the flash went off, and the guards came up and got mad at me. There's big signs all around. No flash photography. I guess the repeated lights might somehow affect the painting.
Did you have a little backpack
on? My flash went off. Like, I don't believe I had a backpack. No, I don't think so.
I'm just trying to picture Doug Vaughn, the young carefree tourist, just seeing the sights.
And I bet I had, between going to London and Paris, probably 10 people came up and said, I worked at Miami at the time, aren't you the sportscaster at Channel 7? At least 10 people.
You were big even back then,
No,
buddy?
I thought, how weird is that? And I thought, you know, most of the places where I'm going, other American tourists are going too. It's not the everyday people that are going. You know, the people that live there aren't going to see the Tower of London and the Louvre.
Don't you think?
So they're all Americans also. And I guess one out of 100 or 120 that I saw lived in the South Florida area. It was amazing how many times it happened.
Don't you think, like, if you were going on vacation again with the missus, you guys went to Guam, someone would yell free dotum at you?
I don't think
so.
I don't think so.
Couple good questions on the text line for Doug about his vacation 30 years ago. Did you wear a fanny pack?
I did not. No. I've
also
never worn a fanny pack.
More importantly, hey, Doug, was this the first time you met Victor?
Was Victor there?
No, Victor was Mexican.
That doesn't matter. He can also take a vacation.
He wouldn't have been alive. He would not even have been alive.
Can you imagine?
So he was that young.
The guy driving
Victor
the tour
was
bus.
Early 20s, yes.
The guy driving the tour bus in Paris was Victor, and then they would cross paths later in Mexico.
So let's be honest.
Victor wasn't around at that point.
Let's be honest. You got his contact info in England, and you said,
Victor wasn't English. Victor
let's
was
follow
Mexico.
Up.
No, he
he's
from
also
Mexico City.
He's also on vacation. You said, let's follow up, but then kind of life happened. You have a bunch of kids, and you can't reconnect. All of a sudden, you have this vacation years later. What, in the Caribbean? Where'd you go? Mexico?
Yeah, down around Cancun.
And then you can finally rekindle that.
Can you imagine?
There's no rekindling.
After all those years,
it's the guy you worked at the hotel, that's all.
After all those years, there was you and Victor reuniting over a fondue.
Victor wasn't in England at all.
I'm picturing like Doug and Victor on a new HGTV show, like Beachfront Bargain Hunt, kind
flipping,
of something similar to
houses.
That,
like
where
it.
They're just living on the island and just showing properties.
Beachfront Bargain Hunt?
Yeah, it's a good show.
Not a bad idea. Oh, there really is a show.
Well, that's the name of that show, but I'm thinking
HGTV.
You could copy
let me,
it. Yeah,
let me tell you something. When you're
great,
at home with the wife
programs.
And you guys, and you're like, hey, let's watch this. And she's like, eh. And then she says, let's watch Hallmark. And you're like, eh. It's a good channel where
how
you
about
can,
Property Brothers? You know,
yeah,
meet in the middle.
Yeah. There's that's a meet in the middle TV. Good work.
So did Victor get in trouble for taking a picture of the Mona Lisa?
Victor wasn't with us. He wouldn't have even been born.
When you were in the bus in
you
Paris.
You guys got the wrong picture about
and,
Victor. He
and Victor is like,
at the hotel.
The Louvre is on your left. Did you ever imagine that you guys would become friends and would vacation together in Mexico
wasn't
someday?
Wasn't thinking about that at all. No, I don't think about it now.
That's a crazy thing.
Didn't think about it when I was in Mexico.
Did they frown upon making out in front of the Mona Lisa like you and Victor did?
Oh, blousy.
I do have a question about Victor because I've heard about Victor a lot.
That's
and
great.
I'm just wondering because we discussed
this. It was the guy who worked at
now,
the
hold
hotel.
On.
You
I'm
brought
curious,
him up
though.
A lot. You
okay.
brought him up a lot.
And that's my point is yesterday we joked around about the fact that you can just throw out a passing reference and next thing you know, it's mentioned for 5 years. So I'm wondering.
This is going on, 2.5 years now?
So when you came back from this vacation, did you just throw out Victor one time and all of a sudden everybody kind of just jumped on
it? Yeah. Because Victor was in charge of the entertainment, and he was everywhere. He was at the pool organizing games where we were throwing footballs, and then he was singing at night on the stage.
No, he's in my bed.
No, he wasn't in the bed. You take everything in another step. That's not even close to being true.
And prior to that, you took him to England.
I didn't know. England was in the 80s. Victor wouldn't have been alive then.
In all fairness, okay, we've all been on vacation, and we don't come back with stories about a guy who worked at the resort or the tour guide. You did bring up Victor several times. So in a sense, you did do this to yourself. How would we know? Hey, Doug, was there a guy in charge of entertainment? What was his name?
Pretty much.
You brought him up a couple. You were like, and Victor did this, and then we did this by the pool. Victor was so funny. And it seemed like you and Victor had struck up a great friendship.
No, not at all.
And right after the tour, you could actually have this pickup line like, hey, now let me give you a tour of room 215.
No,
and then you
no.
slide him in your card, and then boom.
I think better card? Is Doug could maybe, he could hold out the card or the room key and kind of, if it's a key, you can kind of dangle it and say, to the Victor goes the spoils.
Why would I say that? Why would I be interested in that?
Hail to the Victors, Michigan Fight Song.
Yeah, well, I didn't sing the Michigan Fight Song either. Why do you hate Michigan? I don't hate Michigan.
You like Kansas?
I don't hate Kansas.
You and Victor, Kansas fans.
No.
Did you know he was working in Mexico, or did you think he was still back in England?
He's never been to England, as far as I know. I mean, I saw him for the 4 or 5 days. We were at a resort, that's all. Walking around the pool, hey, who wants to play
life
any football
is funny.
Game? I'll throw a free drink if I win. Sure. I won the game.
Life is funny. You got to admit, there you are in England wearing a Kansas Jayhawk hat, and there's Victor wearing a Kansas Jayhawk, so you start talking about your favorite college program.
Man.
30 years later, he's dancing and serving you drinks.
Well, he was serving drinks. He might have served some drinks.
Let's get him on the show.
I don't think
you'd like that. Let's get him on the show.
He danced a little, but that was at the stage show later in the evening. But, you know, there were other people with him. It wasn't just Victor. There was a whole crowd of people.
Got Victor shaking that martini shaker and just looking right at Doug.
Like a shake weight.
That didn't happen. Thrust. That didn't happen at all.
Was he a good dancer?
I don't know. I don't know particularly. No.
He was.
I don't think he was. I didn't pay attention to
it. Did you tip him? Because he's probably making like $9 a day. He's probably making like $9 a day.
Well, that's all he'll get then.
Hey, Bud Select is the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Doug, it's also the sponsor of TMA Live. On Thursday, December 14th at Hot Shots Manchester, you guys always have so much fun with the TMA Lives.
We do.
I've went to a couple. Haven't got to go recently here because I'm always working on Thursday nights, Doug. Seems like you guys are getting great crowds.
We are. We do get a good crowd. Our listeners are the best.
They are.
They really are.
Well, they show up for those things anyway. They're the best.
We had a gathering of listeners last night at Plowsy's poker game at The Rock. Yeah, fun time.
How come I wasn't invited to the poker game?
You're not on Facebook. That's where the invite
was. The invite was on the fan page. Like, that's where we set everything up, was on the fan page. So
I would play poker with you.
We're doing spades and gin, I think.
I would only play poker. But I'm not as good as Tim because I'm not like a pseudo-professional
gambler.
But it
was really fun. We had pulled pork and food set out for everybody. I mean, it was legit. I mean,
Was Junior there?
Smooth. Oh, yeah. Junior was... he didn't play, but he was just the man in charge of the pit boss.
He was the pit boss.
And how many people were there?
I think we had 28 players.
Really? In your apartment?
No, we did it at Normandy.
The Rock.
Oh, you went to the golf course.
Yeah, it was a great success. So we're doing... I think what my idea would be, if not a lot of people want to play spades, I was thinking a cash game on the side, you know, just to get people in there.
I would do that. Would there be room for Doug, Victor, and myself if we all three went? That would be fun.
Well, you're taking Victor as a date?
No, you're a couple, I thought.
The Rock is, you're not able bad. To lock that bathroom door, so I think him and Victor would definitely...
Plum, you just got yourself suspended.
Sorry, Doug, that made my last
he
shot.
Was teetering. You just he got was yourself teetering suspended. On the brink, I felt.
A period of 2 days' time. I'll write it in the handsome, leather-bound, hot-shot suspension
he was
log.
Teetering anyway.
I'm writing it with an ink pen I got from Wright Business Products. They will brand all of your office equipment. That's Wright Business Products. Hey, thank you, Wrightsy.
I almost knocked myself out, and I love, Schmitty and Jay knows that Normandy is my favorite golf course.
Oh, yeah.
But they need a few lights in the parking lot. I mean, I walked to my car last night, and I ran into a dumpster. I did not see it.
I used my
head
phone.
Head on into a dumpster.
So you played too?
Yeah, I went out early. I got a bad beat.
Who won?
Patrick, who works at Normandy, Jay's assistant.
What was the prize? How much cash?
I think $450 for first.
Oh, nice. Really?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Ooh, wow.
Yeah. And Plowsy, how'd you do?
I think I got like 11th. Went all in pre-flop with ace-8, and somebody called me with 8-3. And
they called you with 8-3. It's a bad beat.
That's all I need to say. Yep, it was tough, but I had fun nonetheless. It was a great time. And I love Jay, love The Rock, and I can't wait for more of these. Because it was a huge success. Ton of people there.
After you lost, did you kind of snipe the guy for making a horrible call?
Could not have left faster. I didn't say anything, but I couldn't have left faster.
You just gathered your belongings and left lickety-split?
Oh, yeah. I said bye to Jay and said thanks for having it. And
this guy called me.
I wasn't mad or anything. I was shocked, but I wasn't mad.
A bad poker player. Like, if the game is going on too long, I start going all in thinking, hey, if I win the pot, great. If I get knocked out, also good.
And which is fine, but I was the initial raiser, which was well over the pot, and this was pre-flop. So if he would have raised all in, completely understand you want to go out. It's a difference when he goes, okay.
Oh, he said it that way, did he?
No.
Okay.
No, I'll get him back.
Sure you will.
Well, that's kind of a smart aleck way to bet.
Why don't you have a poker game? Why don't you have a poker game at your crib?
Okay. Let's do it.
No, seriously.
I'd go to this. If I could make it?
I mean, I would, but my apartment's just not big enough. I like home games. They're fun. You know, you get a bunch of people that like.
I've always said I would like to play against Tim. Because Tim is a student of the game. Ooh. I play recklessly without half the knowledge he has.
But you wouldn't play recklessly if there was real money on the line. Like, it's one thing if you're playing for $5 or even 20 and you're bored after 2 hours. But if you're playing for money where I really don't want to lose $400 or whatever it is, you're not going to play the same way.
Well, it was $50 buy-in, and then you got to rebuy the first hour for, I think, $30. So, I mean, it was, like I said, I had a fantastic time. I can't wait to do it again.
Here's what I like to do when I'm playing against really good players, really great players. I like to go, am I the big blind? Because it drives them crazy. Drives them crazy.
No, but it does.
What's it to me?
There were a few people on our table that weren't paying attention, and they would like throw their cards in when there were still four people in front of them that hadn't bet yet. And, oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't my turn. Well, no, there's like four people over there that still need to bet. But it was fun.
That's the good thing about home games, though. The casino, they always penalize you for everything, so you got to be very studious. At home games, you can kind of relax, you know, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, it was fun. I had a fun table.
Yeah,
I went out, I think, second. I was worried about the time. That's why I wish we'd do it on a Friday, because I know I have to get up early. And we had been playing for like 2 hours and nobody was out. I'm like, oh my God, this thing could go on to like midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. So you kind of worry about getting sleep.
And then today you have the big day with the concert. You got to go shopping for new suit and clothes.
No, I don't have to. I have to meet the Born This Way Foundation at 3:15 at a charity thing they're doing. And then I don't know if I have to pick up my person I'm taking.
What did you just, my person I'm taking?
Well, I'm not talking about it anymore. I mean, I'm tired of it.
But you could say her name. It's Carly.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm picking her up or meeting her yet, so I got to do that. But they picked a person named M, that is a transgendered, and she had all kinds of problems. So they picked her, and she's trying to get certain books for her library. So they're having this meeting at the library to collect books. I'm going to meet the foundation there at 3:15 and then probably just go straight to the show.
Well, just don't add Mein Kampf to that collection.
No, actually,
it's not necessary.
No, I had like 7 books at home I found that deals with people that have gone through things and kids. So I'm donating those. And then I guarantee you there are people at the Scott Trade already lining up.
Right now?
I guarantee you they're probably there last night.
Do you have any
night.
Thought about going to the Four Seasons last night, see if you can actually get a peek at Lady Gaga?
No, she was in Kansas City last night, and I believe that they're not flying in until this morning, according to her.
She flies private jet, probably.
Yeah.
I don't think she's
by Southwest.
Southwest, no.
Middle seat.
Yeah, she flies. The dancers maybe from Kansas City, maybe a bus from Kansas City to St. Louis, I don't know.
She could be on a bus. For those big buses, that's just as comfortable as any flight.
Yeah.
No, she's in a private jet.
7:39 in St. Louis. It's the 7 o'clock hour, brought to you by Design Air Heating and Cooling. Kat, it's important to have your furnace checked every year to ensure safe and efficient operations. So we recommend that you call Design Air, who have been serving St. Louis since 1904. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth generation owners. Design Air technicians don't work on commission, and they provide fast and friendly maintenance or emergency service. Doug, the Cat, and Tim are all Design Air customers. Schedule your fall furnace check today at 314-739-1600 or online at designairservice.com. That's A-I-R-E. If you're in the market for a new furnace, be like Doug and make your house more comfy than you ever imagined.
I got what I want.
Yeah. Again, that's 314-739-1600 or designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Kat, you brought up the fact that the Blue Note taken on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. A lot of sports, Doug. You also, of course, have a SLU at Madison Square Garden. Basketball game against Virginia Tech. Mizzou's first road game at Utah. And reports out of Columbia last night. We're already to the point where we're kind of checking out the planes to see if Michael Porter Jr. is on the plane. Mm-hmm. And he was not. And people are starting to get worried in Como.
Yeah, I saw some tweets by what seemed to be sort of basketball bloggers saying that they've got word that the injury is more serious than people think. But we won't know that for certain until we get confirmation. And then yesterday also, because everyone is following the Giancarlo Stanton story. So yesterday, apparently, this is from Morosi. That the Cardinals and Marlins met to discuss a possible trade with Stan, but just the concept of a trade, which I found a bizarre thing. So what is a trade? Well, that would be
now hypothetically
where you get something and then you give us something.
They're just discussing the very basics of it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't you just say a trade though?
That's weird.
Do you have to say concept?
Yeah,
that was weird wording.
That was very weird.
If you're trying to be a fancy schmancy writer, you have to come up with different ways to say it to make it look like, I guess, you're a little smarter than everybody else.
I think you're trying to be, because I think the teams are not going to say what guys are interested or unless it helps them. So a lot of teams are not wanting to say anything. So my guess would be that you got a source that was really ambiguous about the discussion between the Cardinals and Marlins. So you, as a writer, try to make it as ambiguous. Well, I never said trade. I said they were talking concept of trade. But I will say this. You know, like, a team is not going to, because I see people trying to explain how, no, if Stanton wouldn't play in St. Louis or Boston, the Red Sox and the Cardinals would know that. And I don't think the pursuit would be there. So I'm not saying he's leaning toward. I'm saying I'm not sure that everyone knows that he has eliminated them, so the talks continue to see if you know,
you
the Red
think.
Sox or the Cardinals can. Because I guarantee they're smart enough, they got enough intel to know he's not coming here. So because the theory is, well, the Marlins don't want to let on where Stanton won't play, because the more teams in the bidding, the higher the price you'll get for right. Stanton. But I don't think. It's such a small world in baseball. My guess is teams kind of know. And you might know that you're not the front runner, but you still can pursue a trade and try to convince Stanton.
Derek Jeter said yesterday in that interview that he hadn't even talked to Stanton yet. He was asked, is he open to a trade? And he said, I don't know. I haven't talked to him.
It's weird, isn't it?
Seriously?
That's weird.
He also said that there's an opportunity that maybe he stays in Miami, which I think that is... No way that's happening.
No, but they have to throw that out also, just to let everybody know that, well, we're never going to get to a point where we're just going to trade him for anything.
It was interesting to see that Tampa Bay is interested, or they would be interested in getting rid of their closer, who, what, did he have 50 last year?
Yeah.
And that Chris Archer is available. I don't know what they'd ask for, but I'd love to see Chris Archer in a Cardinal uniform.
I think what's interesting, too, about Stanton is, let's say Stanton is so... headstrong, and basically, let's say I only want to go to the Dodgers, and there's just not a deal there. And he says no to the Red Sox, no to the Cardinals. So now the Marlins are in a tough spot. We know the Marlins, they've said that they want to get down to about $90 million. So could you foresee a scenario where if Giancarlo Stanton is not going to accept a deal, well, then you have to trade off all of your other assets, obviously more players because nobody's making as much as Stan, but you have Martin Prado makes a decent amount of money. D. Gordon makes a decent amount of money. Yelich makes a decent amount of money. Ozuna, not as much, but you could also be in a spot where if they have to shed payroll and they get rid of all these other assets and Giancarlo Stanton is sitting there and he says, okay, I only want to go to my perfect team. Well, now you're on a terrible team. Do you want to be there next year when this team now loses 100 games? Or do you want to go to maybe the third best team, you know, the Cardinals? Maybe they're not your first or second choice, but they're a lot better option and you could win than sitting around for another year in Miami and maybe getting traded the following offseason.
I agree with that. That's why I never thought Stan said, I'm not going here or this has to be the team. It doesn't make sense. Now, you would think if the Dodgers had an opportunity, even if they're not the biggest pursuers of Stanton, and they could get him at a good return, anyone would be interested in having Stan. But I agree. It doesn't make sense that a guy would say, yeah, I'm not playing here, here, or here. It has to be here.
No.
Doesn't make sense to me.
And you don't know how important it is to him to stay there in Miami. You could see, even if the team is bad, he may still think it's pretty cool to live in a penthouse on South Beach, even if the team is bad, as opposed to
you
living in Clayton somewhere.
You should Google his place and check it out. It's insane.
Yeah, I could see where it would take a really sweet deal before you'd leave any of that.
But he's already said that I don't want to be part of another rebuild. He says, I've lost for 7 years. Well, if you're trying to get rid of Ozuna and Yelich and Prado and D. Gordon, well, you're rebuilding.
Right, but
if he said he doesn't want to stay as part of a rebuild, then he's already said, I want to go.
But he could just suck it up for a year and bite the bullet. Yeah. I mean,
but then he can answer the questions. Well, didn't you say you didn't want to stay for a rebuild and they just got rid of all these players? Well, I'm saying
it'll be
now.
Interesting to see how it all shakes out.
Well, I guess it will be. And that's what I mean. You don't know what's more important to him, living where he really loves it, assuming he really loves Miami, or playing on a winning team.
Do you think that if he did get traded, you think if we jumped in real quick, you, Charlie, and I put our funds together, we could buy his penthouse like for pennies on the dollar?
A couple bucks.
We probably couldn't pay the electric bill.
What if we said, hey, you're still making a lot of money. You don't need the hassle of trying to sell this. We'll give you $150,000.
How about we just say pennies on the dollar?
What if we say we'll house sit? You can put it on the market, but everybody knows Giancarlo. You just got traded to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that was your spot. They're going to think you want to sell real quick and not have the house sit on the market for a long time. We'll house sit, and then you can get the best offer.
Nice. Could you lead a cooler lifestyle than having a contract for more than $300 million, going to play Major League Baseball, and then driving home in your Ferrari into a penthouse apartment on South Beach?
Yeah, you could be doing AM sports talk radio station, and enjoying that every day.
And being as good looking as he is, he's probably banging them two at a time. Yeah. What a life.
You don't know that. He could be really shy.
He might be.
Yeah, he looks like a shy guy.
He seems like a very nice guy, though. Everything you hear is that he's a very nice guy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not feeling sorry in any way for Giancarlo Stanton. But you do understand that in baseball, you wait for that shot at free agency. And he signed this huge deal beforehand. And 13 years, and he got a ton of money, so I'm not feeling sorry for him whatsoever. But also, at the time, you're looking around, man, we got Christian Yelich, we got Marcelo Ozuna, you have Jose Fernandez as your ace of the future, and you're thinking this would probably be a great place to play, even though you know the history of the Marlins and having fire sales. But you can understand why, you know, Giancarlo Stanton may not have signed that same deal to be a Cardinal or a Royal. And so, I'm not saying it's a tough spot, because relative to other people's problems, it's not really tough. But he should be able to live where he wants to live.
You get one of those nice condos on Wash Avenue that has like three bedrooms and two baths.
I think he'd be
happy as can be there.
I don't think he'd live there.
Or Glendale.
There's a place right across the street open in my apartment complex.
I don't think
he'd be my neighbor.
Live there either.
It's a one bedroom. It's nice though.
Where would you live in St. Louis if you had all the money in the world and you could live absolutely anywhere?
Brentwood Forest.
Can you imagine?
I don't know.
If the worlds collided and all of a sudden Stanton lived across the hall from Iggy. That would be a sitcom.
Morning, Giancarlo. Sunflower?
I didn't know this. Do you know Rocky Arsenault?
I know
Rocky Arsenault, the agent to Ezekiel Elliott.
Correct? Yeah, I didn't know he was Elliott's
agent. He used to be
a
Marshall Faulk's agent, or I guess still is technically.
And also Steven Jackson, too. Mm-hmm. I just bring it up because Steven Jackson, when he came to town, lived right next door to me, and I'd see him all the time because he lived at Rocky Arsenal, kept a condo right next door. So I'd see him every day. Eventually, once he got paid.
He went to his agent's house every day?
No, he lived there. It was
Rocky
a condo.
Rocky or Steven?
Steven. Rocky didn't live in that condo. He just had a condo. I don't know if he would rent it out, but it was open. So mm-hmm. Steven Jackson lived there for a couple months when he first got to town. So I'd walk my dog near Steven. Hey, kind of cool.
He waved back?
Yeah, very nice guy. Yeah. Steven Jackson was a really nice guy.
He was.
Yeah. I enjoyed him. And then, of course, now I was neighbors with Matt Holliday, but Holliday moved.
And by neighbors, you mean he lived across the street, across a busy street in the $5 million house?
Are you suing him?
Our houses are similar inside. No.
I don't think they are.
That's a little awkward, though.
What do you mean?
To discuss litigation. He lived around the corner, I would say, half a mile. Maybe if you ran through yards, maybe half a mile. That's neighbors, isn't it?
Did you ever hang out at his house?
No.
Never once?
Never once.
For a quick little dinner party?
No.
Did he ever come over?
No.
They're not neighbors.
Trevor Rosenthal is a neighbor.
A lot of the Cardinals live out that way, don't they?
In my neighborhood, it was Holliday, and it's Trevor Rosenthal.
Is it the
and
situation?
He tells me he's going to... I said, you should come by, and we'll have a vegetable tray together. But he hasn't.
Is this a situation like that mobile home park that's there on 64 that's in Ladue? And, you know, I guess you could say the
I don't
guy
even
who lives
know where
across
it is.
The fence is in a mansion. There's my neighbor.
Yeah. Yeah, just kind of that way.
Yeah.
I live in the ghetto in that area.
Mm-hmm. How is that still there? How have the people of Ladue not gotten rid of that?
I never... Where is it?
I don't know. I don't even know if it's still there. It was for years.
You've seen it?
Yeah, you can see it.
From the highway.
It's like a little west of Spady, I think.
Yeah, there's like a club right there. And then if you go to the left of that, you're going on the highway, there's like three mobile homes there. Like, what the hell?
But they're neighbors with the brain surgeons that live there in Ladue.
I don't know why we're making... I'm in mobile home number three.
Yeah,
it's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I would live in a van if it was a nice fixed-up van.
You would?
Yeah.
You'd actually want to live in a van? How about one of those small houses you see now on TV? Would you live in one of those
small
houses?
Those are the dumbest things going. And I guarantee that the people, they have great intentions to live in a tiny house and downsize. But when I watch these shows, it's always, you see the couple, and then they have two kids and a Rottweiler. And they're going to live in 180 square feet. No possible
way. The one I
saw
actually had a family of six. Two adults. Four kids wanted to go in a tiny home, and this is stupid. That is dumb. That should be illegal.
Wouldn't you think you'd get claustrophobia after a while?
I think of the first thing is you got a bathroom right there in a tiny house. What if someone goes? Everyone else is going to be
a
victim
for about a half an hour.
Kids like the kitchen's right there. If you wreck big enough. Like, that could be, like, a seasoning, and you're, like,
oh,
you're, like,
no.
No, because, like, if you can smell it, you can taste it. That's what the doctors say.
Wow.
That's what the professionals say.
That's gross. If you're a single guy, I could see living in one of those tiny homes. I could see it. If you have a kid, you can't. If you have two dogs, you can't.
I wouldn't even do one dog.
They're like, oh, and here's your office nook. Office nook, and it's like a little tiny square that's your office nook.
Office nook.
Yeah. Now,
obviously, if you're living there, you're not doing a whole lot at any office.
The all-purpose table, to where you can pull it down and your kitchen table turns into your den, you know, just by a simple, there it is, there in the table. It is, yeah.
My guess is that people that move into those don't last too long. But they say that it's still a pretty hot market for tiny houses. And some of the ones... Like, those are the rolling ones. Like, some of them, 300 square feet, they can do a lot with three. And so I could see something like that. But some of these are 180.
Don't you think maybe that's a second home? Like, they have a house, and then they put this near a beach or near the mountains or
not
something and just go there for a week or two?
I could understand that. But these are people that want to downsize because they believe they want to spend their money on life experiences instead of material possessions.
Like, if you have a kid, where do you put, like, his toys or any memories, any childhood memories at all?
You don't get them. It's like back in our day. We didn't have any toys.
We played with sticks.
Toys were grass.
And rocks.
Go outside and pull the grass and throw it up in the air. There's your toy.
Bark.
Play soccer with a can.
Some important text on the text line. Cody from Step by Step, the code man, he lived in a van in the driveway, if you remember that show.
Loved it.
Also, seems like Victor is the Bill Russell of resort entertainment, could really move on the dance floor, and has a lot of length. I think he means in terms of, because Bill Russell had a wingspan in terms of blocking shots and getting those rebounds. What do you have, 38 boards in a game?
40.
Yeah.
And yeah, which is normal. I mean, obviously, anybody can just go and get 40 rebounds.
Only a superstar.
In a game seven of a
only
in
a way, who never comes out of the game. They're the same. Bill Russell had great anticipation where to be to make the key block. Victor would know when it was time to start a game of beer pong.
He had good timing. He had good timing. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Hey, from Festus to Troy and all parts in between. This is funny, Doug, because Sea Monster writes the copy for all of the live reads.
We're talking Festus to Troy, Illinois or Missouri?
I'm guessing either. Okay. From Festus to Troy and all parts in between, hail wreaked havoc in STL earlier this month. But Sea Monster took Chesterfield out of the read yesterday. The last few days, it said Chesterfield.
Those people have suffered
enough.
And
I feel like he's thinking we're focusing too much on that.
Yesterday, so.
They don't want to continue to be reminded of the hideous hailstorm of 2016.
Let's be honest. Sea Monster tries to childproof this show, right? That's what he does.
So, if weather can take down power lines, imagine what it does to your roof, Doug. Beware of strangers knocking on your door with offers to repair your roof, and be sure to use an A-plus rated and local company that you can trust, like Lane House Construction in Missouri or Illinois. That answers your question. Troy, Missouri or Troy, Illinois. Lane House Construction is an Owens Corning preferred contractor that offers comprehensive hail inspection and will go over the findings with you in detail. Experience matters with hail and wind damage, so put Lane House Construction's 15 years to work for you. When you order a complete roof repair with Lane House, mention this ad and receive a Ridge Vent ventilation system at no charge. The number 866-546-ROOF. That's 866-546-ROOF or lanehouseroofingandexteriors.com. Lane House, a local tried and true company that you can trust. Doug?
Well, I would trust them. I absolutely would. Had I known, my house did get hit with hail about 7 or 8 years ago, and had I known about Lane House Inn, they would have been the ones that I would have chosen to fix it.
I had hail damage in our condo a couple years back. We were getting a new air conditioner, so I ended up buying a new air conditioner. But I had let the repair guy come over, and he said, you know, you might want to try this. Sure. And he said, it's not technically probably the moral thing to do, but he said, your air conditioning unit has some hail damage. But it was also about 20 years old, and the hail damage wasn't causing any actual issue with the air conditioner. Yeah. It was just the fact that it was really old. And he said, you should try to see if you can get a hail damage claim on your air conditioner.
So, did you try to go through with this insurance fraud?
Because it felt shady.
Yeah.
So, I inquired, wasn't able to do it, and then I just bought the new one.
So, that was the way to go. You could have saved up a lot of money to buy that had you taken part in this listener rewards program that we've got going on right now with Hollywood Casino. 590 The Fan and InsideSTL.com present Hollywood Casino as our latest listener rewards program. Here's what you get. You get two hotel rooms and a $50 food and beverage credit to Hollywood Casino for only $200. That's over 60% off at a premier hotel and casino in St. Louis. Rooms can be used on back-to-back nights or split up on separate visits. Doesn't matter. Enjoy your $50 credit at one of the many excellent restaurants, including 99 Hops House, Final Cut Steakhouse, Eat Up Buffet, Fat Thai, Hollywood and Grind, and Celebrity Grill. So what are you waiting for? To take part in this offer, here's what you do. You log on to InsideSTL.com and click on the Listener Rewards tab to enjoy this fantastic holiday deal. Here it is again. Two hotel rooms, $50 food and beverage credit to Hollywood Casino for only $200. Now, there are only 20 packs available, so make sure you purchase now before they are gone. Go to InsideSTL.com for more.
Good hour, fellas. Let's take a break and do it all over again. And we have Rory Karf, the director of Nature Boy, about Ric Flair, the ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. That's at 8:30, 9:15. Kelly Chase, email of the day, presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. The prize, a suspension special at Hot Shots. You can win Blues tickets anytime they play on Tuesday night just by watching the game at Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Check out Ticket Tuesdays all Blues season long at one of Hot Shots' 11 area locations. We'll take a break. We'll be right back on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.